I want to start tonight with one quiet question, just one. And I want you to sit with it for a second before you answer it. Really sit with it, the way you'd hold something warm in both hands before you put it down. Here it is. If tonight went wrong, not a big disaster, just one of those hard, 2 in the morning kinds of wrong, who would actually be at your door within 2 hours? Not who'd send a text. Not who'd react to your post. I mean, who would put on shoes and come? Think of their faces. Say their names, even just in your head. We're going to call that the 2-hour test, and it's the spine of this whole show. If your list came back smaller than you wanted it to be, if you went quiet for a second, you are not alone. Most people go quiet right there. And this show is going to spend 5 episodes telling you why and what you can actually do about it. Let me tell you about Walter. He's 78, he's still sharp, and one evening he sat at his own kitchen counter and ran this test. He thought about who'd come. He counted. He came up with one name, one person. And the first thing Walter felt was not relief that he had at least one. It was shame. Like the number was a report card on the kind of man he'd been for 78 years. Had he been cold? Had he kept people at arm's length? Was there something about him that just didn't draw people close? He sat there and went through all of it. And here's what I want to say directly to Walter, and maybe to you, if you're doing the same thing right now. The number is not a report card. It is not about the kind of person you are. It is about something much bigger than you, something that happened to the whole world over the last 2 or 3 generations, and something nobody warned most of us about. Walter's number isn't low because Walter failed. Walter's number is low because the world he grew up in, the one that built nearness into the actual streets, the actual schedules, the actual shape of a week, that world quietly fell apart. And nobody handed him the tools to build a new one. The number is a fact. It is not a verdict. So what happened? Because something did happen. This didn't just drift. 2 or 3 generations back, your grandparents' time, in most cases, the people who would show up if something went wrong were mostly right there. They lived 3 houses down. They went to the same hall on the same night every week. They ran into each other at the same market, the same church steps, the same block. That nearness was not something those people worked at. It was built into the shape of where they lived and how weeks were organized. It was the structure. And then, in waves, over decades, the structure changed. People moved farther, schedules stretched in different directions. The place where everyone ran into each other got replaced by screens where people could reach far but couldn't really drop by. Families spread across the country. The things that used to put people in the same room at the same time over and over without anyone planning it, those things got thinner. And when a structure thins, the numbers it used to produce thin with it. This is not a story about anybody getting colder or less caring. Studies on how close people say they are to friends and neighbors have tracked steady declines over many decades in the United States and in most countries that change this way. The care didn't go away. The structure that used to make the care automatic, that's what went. And if you don't know that's what happened, you do what Walter did. You blame yourself. Now, I want to stop here and take a real objection seriously. Because somebody watching this right now is thinking, yeah, but that's just how adult life goes. You get busy. Friendships fade. That's normal. Aren't you just dressing up something ordinary with a fancy frame? And I think that's worth sitting with, because it's not a small question. Here's what I'd say back. You're right that it's common. You're right that most people live this way, but common and fine are not the same thing. The research on what happens to people who don't have close others they can call on, the kind of people who'd be at the door in 2 hours is pretty clear and pretty serious. It shows up in health outcomes, in how long people live, in how well they handle the hard years. So when people say, this is just how adult life goes, they're describing what most people do. They're not describing what's good for people. And here's the second thing I'd say to that objection. Adults who grew up with enough close people around them, not because they were especially great at making friends, but because the structure put them in the same room with the same people every week. Those adults are not proof that being good at friendship is some rare gift. They're proof that the structure worked. The structure did the job that most of us are now being asked to do ourselves, from scratch, without a map. That is a hard ask. It is not a personal failing to find it hard. So here's where we turn. And this is the part I want you to carry out of here tonight. The number you came up with, when you ran the test, is not a sentence on your character. It's not something that gets carved in stone. It is an inventory. It is a count of where things stand right now, in a world that thinned the structure without telling most of us what to do next. And the thing about an inventory is this. Inventories are just the starting place. The jar on the counter right now is wherever it is. Maybe it has a stone in it. Maybe it's empty. That is not the whole story. That is the beginning of the story. Because here is what we know from watching how people actually build close circles, not from a theory, but from watching what works. You don't build a circle by needing one. You build it by being one first, before anyone asked for someone who needs it. You go first. You drop something in the jar for someone else. Not big, not a grand gesture. You bring the soup, you call, and you stay on the call. You say the words out loud. If something ever goes wrong, I'm one of your names. You offer before it's asked. And when you do that, not as a strategy, not as a trick, but as a genuine act of care, something begins to move. Not immediately. Not in a week. But something in that relationship shifts. You become one of their names. And somewhere down the line, without you orchestrating it, they quietly become one of yours. That's how the jar fills. Not because you stare at the empty jar and feel bad, but because you keep dropping something in for someone else, and the flow eventually comes back around. And here's the thing that really landed for Walter when we told him all of this. He had spent years wondering what was wrong with him, why his circle had stayed small, why the people he'd worked alongside for 20 years hadn't become the kind of people who'd put on shoes and come. And when he understood what had happened to the structure, when he saw that the world had quietly removed the thing that used to build nearness without anyone having to try, something in his face changed. Not relief, exactly. More like putting down a weight he'd been carrying so long he'd forgotten it was there. Because once you see it clearly, the question isn't, what's wrong with me? The question is, what do I do now? And that's a much better question. That's a question with an answer. The first part of that answer is what we just talked about. You go first, in small ways, for one person. But there's a deeper thing underneath it too. And it's this. The real problem isn't that you don't know the right technique for making friends as an adult. The real problem is that most of us were handed a world where close circles were supposed to form automatically, and when they didn't, we assumed the flaw was in us. That was never true. The flaw was in the expectation. The world changed. The expectation didn't update. And so everyone walked around quietly wondering what was wrong with them, instead of saying, something important broke, and we need to build it again, on purpose, together. That's what this show is about. So here's your one thing for this week, and I want to be very clear about what I'm asking and what I'm not asking. I am not asking you to go run the 2-hour test again and then grade yourself on the result. The test is just a way of seeing. It's a lens, not a homework assignment. What I'm asking is the giving end of it. Think of one person in your life who might be a little light on names themselves. Maybe you know they've been going through something. Maybe you've just had a feeling. Pick one person and quietly become one of their names, not with a big announcement, not with a long explanation. Just do the thing. Bring them something. Call and stay on the call longer than you need to. Say the words, "If something goes wrong, you call me, and I will come." Drop something in their jar. That's it. You're not auditing your own circle this week. You're adding yourself to somebody else's. One name on one person's list, one small stone placed in their jar. And here's the part that is genuinely beautiful, if you hold it right. That single act is also how your own list starts to move. You don't fix a small number by focusing on your own number. You fix it by making somebody else's number a little larger. The flow goes around. What you give out, quietly, in small ways, over time, it comes back around, not as a transaction, not because you calculated it, but because that's what happens when people care for each other on purpose. So tonight, we found the question this whole show turns on. Who'd be at your door in 2 hours? And we found that a small answer is not a report card. It's a description of a world that changed and didn't always tell us what to do next. We put one stone in the jar. Next time, we're going to sit with the doubt that probably crept in somewhere around the middle of tonight. The quiet voice that says, "Sure, but my situation is different. I've tried. I'm past the age where these things build easily. Can it actually change at this point?" We're going to take that voice seriously, because it deserves a serious answer, and then we're going to take it apart gently, with real examples of people who started late and found their way through. Come back for that, and go put one stone in somebody's jar this week. Watched over, as always, by Daisy.